This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Parshas Pinchas. Now, I came across a fabulous piece in Avigdor Nevenzahl's Sefer. I saw it in the Sefer of Reb Rosner. He referred to it, and I went to the Reb Nevenzahl Sefer in the Eitz HaChochma, and I looked at it there. It's a fabulous piece regarding this week's Parsha. He says the following. There are six themes, six sections in this week's Parsha, Parshas Pinchas. What are the six sections? Number one, we know the beginning of the Parsha. Pinchas is awarded the Bris Shalom. He's awarded this covenant of peace. He becomes a Kohen after being a hero and killing Zimri. Number two, he's instructed, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to avenge Midian. Number three, there we've got to count the people. There is another census in Parshas Pinchas. Number four, you've got the story of Bnei Slavchad. The daughters of Slavchad asked to inherit their father's land, inherit Israel. Number five, Moshe Rabbeinu, on hearing that he's going to die, he's asked for a replacement as leader. We need a new leader for Klal Yisrael to be appointed. And lastly, the Karbonus. The parasha ends with the Karbonus, the Karbon Tomid, the daily Karbonus, Shabbos, Yom Tov, etc., etc. So if I were to say to you, are these six sections, the six themes of Parshas Pinchas connected? You would say no. I would have said no. Totally unrelated topics. Says Rav Nevenzahl, there is a common theme of all of them. What is the common denominator of these six sections? Says Rav Nevenzahl, this is all to do with Moshe Rabbeinu's preparation for his death and ensuring a smooth transition for the future of the Bnei Israel. Now let's see this. So I've got it inside. It's so beautiful to see it inside. So thanks to the Eitz HaChochma, I was able to cut and paste and to put it in here. Says Rav Nevenzahl in Sichas Lesapeh, Parshaseinu Oseches B'Shisha Inyonim Shonim. Our parsha deals with six seemingly random, disparate topics: Kehunas Pinchas, Hakas Midyan, avenging Midyan, Minyan Bnei Israel, the counting of the Jewish people. Parshas Bnei Slavchad, Bakoshas Manig La'am, appointing a new leader, V'Karbonas HaMoyadim and the Karbonas. U'b'chol Zoyz Domesh Yesh Kav Mekasha, there is a common denominator, a thread which links them all, Bein Kol Noseh HaParsha, between all the topics of the Parsha. Nitzin Loma, Sha'abriya Chaticha, in the common theme, the thread that weaves them all together, the Parsha Hu, Hachonos Lehistalkos Min Olam. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's preparation to leave this world. Now, he goes through each one to explain how. Aleph. Haketa HaRishon. The first section, Beparsha, Oisik Bahavoras HaKunda LePinchas, talks about Pinchas becoming a Kohen. Ad Ata, until now, Lohoya Pinchas Kohen. Pinchas, till now, was not a Kohen. He was a Levi. Limroi Shehoya Nechta Shel Aaron. Even though his grandfather was Aaron HaKohen, his Aaron ben, Pinchas ben Eloz ben Aaron HaKohen, his grandfather was Aaron HaKohen, Shechoyu Oz, who was still alive, Bnei Aaron hanim shochim heviras hakohen lenechdom lenechodim shenodu la'acha mashicha v'chein nitzav b'Pinchas shenodu lefnei mashicha nisha Levi. In other words, Pinchas, Aaron HaKohen and his sons were anointed to be the Kohanim, and all of their future descendants would be Kohanim. But Pinchas was alive at the time, and he was not a Kohen. He wasn't anointed a Kohen. We discussed in one of the previous parashas here why wasn't he a Kohen. Because some say he was a child and you can't anoint a child, whatever the reason may be. But he wasn't anointed a Kohen. Therefore, it's going to be a very strange thing. His father's a Kohen, his grandfather's a Kohen, but he's a Levi. And all his descendants for future times, all the other people born from Aaron and his sons, are going to be Kohanim. However, Koes, ba'akvas ma'aseo, on the back of his heroic act, mischahin gam Pinchas, he became a Kohen. It's not going to be him only, but all of his descendants are going to be Kohanim as well. Now, what has that got to do with Moshe Rabbeinu preparing for his death? Says Rav Nevenzahl, a beautiful insight. Moshe had to make sure, before he died, that it was very clear who was a Kohen, who was a Levi, and who was Israel. Because everyone needs to know who they are in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, before he takes leave of this world, my responsibility as a leader is to inform my flock who they are and how you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a Kohen, you're a Levi, you're Yisrael, and Pinchas was a little bit in no man's land, so we had to sort of sort that out. That was one of his to-do things before he takes leave of this world. Okay, Number two, next box. But Parsha Hashnia, the second Parsha, Oisekes Yeshiras B'Histalkos Moshe Rabbeinu, we deal straight away with the departure again of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, what is he told? Tzereres HaMijonim V'Yikisa Mosam. Agitate, go to war, fight against the Mijonim, and take revenge and smite them. Mavua B'Medrash, the Medrash says, Shehakos Midjan Hoysa T'nai L'Histalkos Moshe Min Ha'olam. Hitting and taking revenge against Midjan was a tenai, was a condition that had to happen before Moshe Rabbeinu dies. For Kafisha Mefurish with Parsha Habo, like the Parsha says, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Meis HaMijonim, Achar Te'osef El HaMecho, and then you will pass away. So you see, you've got to fight against Midjan, and then you're going to die straight away. U'bozeh Shifcha Shal Moshe, and this is the tremendous praise of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shele Ikev Esai Tzil HaMilchama, he didn't delay. Anyone else knows that they're going to die straight after doing this act, you know, you'll take it slowly. I'll have a slightly leisurely breakfast that day. You're not going to run to do it, but not Moshe Rabbeinu. He did it, that was a mitzvah to do it, he runs to do it. Even though he knows immediately afterwards, he's salik min ha'olam, he's going to leave this world. And adrab, zireh zan she'at tzavo, l'kayim es mitzvah Hashem. He encouraged the people of the army to expeditiously go ahead and do the mitzvah of Hashem. Gimel. That's number two. Number three, ho'in ha'shlishi minyan bnei Yisrael, counting the Jewish people. What has that got to do with Moshe's preparation for death and the smooth transition of the Jewish people? Muva b'Rashi, Rashi brings in this week's Edra, Ketzatz kosher ha'minyan l'p'tiras Moshe. What is Rashi himself says, the connection between counting of the Jewish people and the death of Moshe. Moshe l'raya. He gives the moshel of a shepherd. Shemosolei ha'baylim esoin b'minyan. The owners of the flock gave the shepherds the sheep to look after. Min hadinu shegam b'shashem machazrin harei, when the roe gives the sheep back to the baylim, to the owners, yachzirin b'minyan. You gave me 38 sheep, here are 38 back. Well, here's that you give them the count. Kach gam, so too over here. Kashem mosa Hashem es amoi lahanhogas Moshe b'tzeisim Mitzrayim mosum le b'minyan. You gave me a job 40 years ago, and you gave me so many people to look after. Here they are, this is the number. You gave me, this is the number back. Same thing. Next. Ela she'ein ze minyan la'shai to bavad. And moreover, it's not just a minyan for now, just as we just said, it's not only that. Ki im minyan ha'koshel nachras ha'dor haba. It also connects to the next generation. Mefakeid ze, mifkad ze, hoive yesoid lis nachras la'baretz. It's very connected to the next stage, the next chapter in the Jewish people's history of dividing the land. Whether you were of the opinion that you divide the land according to the numbers that came out of Mitzrayim, or and it's their children who receive their portions of the Yosef Mitzrayim, or whether you're of the opinion that it's the people that came into Eretz Yisrael, it's that way around. Whatever the opinion, either way, it's going to have a very primary connection to the next stage of the story of dividing the land. A central aspect in this Sedra is therefore the division of the land, which is the next stage in the journey. Good, so that is number three. Number four, Parshas Benoi Slavchot, what's that got to do with anything? Well, again, it's to do with the next stage. It's making sure that the division of the land is going to be done properly. There's a question mark over this group of ladies, the Benoi Slavchot, and perhaps anybody in their situation. What if a man dies, he only has daughters? Do their daughters get a share in the land or not? So therefore, that was also connected to the next stage in the journey. Number five, La'acha mikan mefia bakoshas Moshe Rabbeinu, me'ashem, limnos ish al ha'edah. Clearly, that was connected because Moshe Rabbeinu requests, can you please appoint a man who is going to oversee the congregation, the next leader of Klal Yisrael? Sheyanhig es Yisrael acha p'tiraso, who's going to lead the Jewish people after his death. So that's clearly connected. That's part of Moshe Rabbeinu's preparation to ensure a smooth transition for the future of the Bnei Yisrael. And lastly, the sixth one, Ho'inyin ha'shishi ha'choesim is a parsha, the sixth one which concludes the parsha, Ho'inyin ha'krabonus. Now, what's the karbonus got to do with anything? Gam inyan zem iskasha pi chazal isalkus Moshe. Moshe lebas melech. He gives a moshel. For the daughter of a king, she omde lipot min olam, she's about to take leave of this world. Ubik she mibayla she yinig b'chamolim bonim v'lo yanishim. And she begs of her husband that he should take good care of the children, he shouldn't punish them. Omer lo ha-melech, so the king says, Ad she'at, turning over the page, Ad she'at mitzava isi, before you start commanding me, tzaves bonaich shelo yiposha bi. Better to command your children that they behave properly, and there'll be no need to punish them. Better than telling me what to do, tell the kids to behave properly, and there'll be no need to punish them. Kach omer Hashem le-Moshe, Ad she'at mevakish manhig acharecha, before you start looking for a new leader for the Jewish people, Kadesh Yisrael, the low rest, the Jewish people shouldn't have be without a shepherd, be without a leader. And Mari Lohem Shiikra Krivu Karbonus Koroi, better tell them how to be Makriv Karbonus, to offer up Karbonus properly, Im Kol HaChonus Hadrushos, with all the necessary preparation, V'ozlo HaSasib Elahanishosom, and there'll be no need to punish them because the Avodah will be done. Hine says the Rav Avigdor Nevinzal, Kol Inyona Shela Parshahu, the whole theme of Parshas Pinchas, all six sections of the Parsha, Hachona Listalkus Hador Hanechochi. It's a preparation for Moshe Rabbeinu's departure and for preparing Klal Yisrael for the next stage in the journey. Havor Sakuna Anhoga Vanachlas Beretz Yisrael Leder Habo. So a very brilliant, a very beautiful insight of Nevinzal to connect all themes together. Two more points for tonight's shiur. Now, like I said to you, tonight is the last shiur in the series. Mishnah will break for the summer, and then we'll resume Mitzvah Hashem in Elul in September. But it's sad that we're still out of sync with Eretz Yisrael, and we're only going to catch up not this Shabbos, but next Shabbos Matas Masse. We're learning Matas Masse together; they're learning Masse. Now, if you cast your minds back to the first shiur after the Pesach break, or whenever after Pesach, we questioned it. Why is it that on Pesach, which finished on a Friday in Eretz Yisrael, and a Shabbos here, so that Shabbos, it was a Pesach for us, it was Achron Shel Pesach, and Eretz Yisrael was already Parshas Achrimus. And we kept, so that we could have caught up, and we've been out of sync since then. So why don't we just catch up the first week? The first Shabbos after Pesach in Chutz Laaretz, we could have just said, let's do Achrimus Kadoshim, and then from the next week we'll be together again. So we gave an explanation at the time, the first explanation. But since then, I came across a different explanation which is related to Parshas Pinchas, which I'd like to share with you. The first explanation is that we wait until Masas Masse to emphasize the rule of Tzumu V'Tzulu. What does that mean? So the back of the Feldman Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, David Feldman's Kitzer of London fame, La'ilam Monu V'Itzru, he's got various rules when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. And one of them is Tzumu V'Tzulu. What does that mean? Tisha B'Av Kodim Parshas Vayeschanan. Tisha B'Av has got to come before Parshas Vayeschanan. Kedei lehasmich teichoch ha-Moshe Rabbeinu le-Tisha B'Av. I.e., we have Parshas Devarim immediately before Tisha B'Av, which is next week or in a few weeks' time, that's exactly what's going to happen. V'acha Kabbalas ha-Oinish, and after you've got Tisha B'Av, which is the Oinish, then you've got Vayeschanan B'Yesh B'Av Kabbalas ha-Torah. You then receive the punishment and you move on and you makabal the Torah again, which is Parshas Vayeschanan, which has Kriyas ha-Torah. To emphasize the rule that you have Devarim before Tisha B'Av and Vayeschanan after Tisha B'Av, you therefore quickly rush and you join Matas Masse together and say, we need, like here, in not this week, but next week, we'll say, let's quickly do Matas Masse together, so that next Shabbos will have Devarim immediately before Tisha B'Av and Vayeschanan afterwards, so to emphasize the rule of Tzimu V'Tzilu. Seder. Now, there's another reason which I came across. Norman Turner told me this pshat, a beautiful pshat. He said, another reason he heard is that wherever possible, we try to make sure that Parshas Pinchas is going to be in the 3 weeks. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not possible because this week will be Matas, next week's Masei, and the week after will be Parshas Devarim. But in Chutz Laaretz, this week, in the 3 weeks, we've got Parshas Pinchas, then Matas Masei, and then Devarim. Why is it so important to have Parshas Pinchas in the 3 weeks? Because like I just said, the end of the Parsha deals with the Karbonos. And we want to have that in the 3 weeks. It's like a silent yearning. It's an expression of our desire that we once again want to have the Karbonos. And therefore, the whole summer, we're out of sync with Eretz Yisrael, just so that Parshas Pinchas can be in the 3 weeks, because it contains the story of the Karbonos, which is an expression of our yearning that, so please God, we'll have a Beis HaMikdash again, and we'll be able to build and to have a Beis HaMikdash. Let me finish with one fabulous idea. This is the last year of the season, so it's a thought for the holiday period. There's an amazing Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Kriyas Shema, this is in Simen Ayin Aleph Si'if Hei. Hachoyfer Kever Lemeis Potter. If someone digs a grave for a mace, his potter from Kriya Shema. There's a concept of Oisik B'mitzvah Potter Mna Mitzvah. So a person who's digging the ground, it can be take a long time, it can be, you know, until you're digging the ground, you're Oisik B'mitzvah, you're potter from Kriya Shema. That is the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Kriya Shema Siman Ayin Aleph. Now the Mishnah Berurah says something which is amazing. Afilu b'shas noichei ma'at, even if he takes a bit of a break. You know, he could be digging there and it's the hot summer now and the ground can be very hard and he's digging and after half an hour, digging, he needs to take a break. Afilu b'shas noichei ma'at, even when he's resting a little bit, shegam oz nikra adayin oisik b'mitzvah, he's still called oisik b'mitzvah and is therefore exempt from Kriya Shema. Sh'al yidei zeh yischazik koichi lachso v'lachbar. Because the resting is part of the mitzvah. And therefore, he needs to sit down for a few minutes to gather his strength again in order to continue digging. That's an amazing Mishnah Berurah. Because the implication, of course, is that if a person goes away on holiday in order to recharge the batteries so that they can learn and they can keep a life of Torah mitzvahs, then the very holidaying itself is a mitzvah. That's what emerges from this Mishnah Berurah. I think that's a very powerful idea, a very important concept to think about. Reb Scheinberg, I once heard an amazing psak. I can't remember where I heard this. Possibly in his biography. But in Reb Scheinberg's Sefer, a lady, a woman, a young mum, asked him a question. The young mum was full on at home. The kids were young and they were getting up very, very early in the morning and she was busy from the early hours of the morning, 5 a.m., to look after her young family. And by the time she got them up and got them ready and fed them and bred them and clothed them and took them off to kindergarten and she came home and did the shopping and then she felt that from 11 o'clock to about 11:15, she had a little window where she could just have 15 minutes for herself before she moves on to the next part of her day. And she asked from Scheinberg, what do I do in that 15 minutes? I've got a choice. Either I could daven shachris, which I haven't had a second since 5 a.m. to do, or I could have a cup of coffee, put my feet up and read something, and just relax. What does Rav Scheinberg say to her? You have your cup of coffee. Because for you, that is what you need to make yourself the best mum that you can be. Yeah, you know, the famous story that the mum needed a bit of time in the kitchen. She just needed, it was the kids were all getting a bit too much for them, knocking on the kitchen door. She locks the kitchen door. And the kids are banging on and she says, they say, what are you doing, mummy? She says, I'm cooking. She says, what are you cooking? She says, ich koch a mama. I'm cooking a mummy. In other words, I'm cooking myself, I'm preparing myself to be able to deal with you. I need that 5 minutes of downtime just so I can function properly. That was Rav Scheinberg's psak. Let me just read you a Rambam, we'll finish with this. Unbelievable Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, I think, says mamish this point. Hamanig atzmei al pi harefuah, someone who lives a healthy lifestyle. So his body can be healthy and strong. So that he can live a Torah life, he can learn properly, he can have a clear head. A person can't think straight if he's hungry, if he's sick, or if one of his limbs hurts him. If a person lives the healthy lifestyle, every single day of his life he's serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why am I doing exercise? Why am I sleeping well? Why am I eating well? Why am I just downtime well? In order to recharge the batteries to serve Hashem. Even when a person sleeps, says the Rambam, if he's sleeping in order that he can rest up, and rest his body, they shouldn't get sick. Because if he's sick, he can't serve Hashem properly. His sleep is part of his avodas Hashem. That's what Chazal mean. The pasuk means kol maasecho yirshem shemayim. To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything you do. So I think this is a beautiful sort of parting thought as we go into the holiday season, that if a person goes in with a view to rest up, to recharge the batteries in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the very holiday itself, the sleep, the eating, the resting, the whatever, the walking, becomes part of your Avodas Hashem and becomes a mitzvah. Amazing. A kiyum of Chol Maasecha Yushleshem Shemayim and B'chol Drochecha Da'ehu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming to the series, and have a very good summer.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.